It's winter, and you can now get almost anything you need for the coldest months of the year delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a ski slope delivered, but you can get dish soap delivered. Sunshine, that's a no. But a bottle of wine, that's a yes. A snow angel, sorry, no. But angel hair pasta, Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Life is made up of many gorgeous moments. Cherish them all, big and small, with Blue Nile. Whether it's for yourself or a loved one, Blue Nile's unrivaled selection of expertly crafted fine jewelry and statement pieces help make all your moments sparkle. Blue Nile's experts are on hand to guide you, and their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Celebrate a life well lived in the most radiant way, and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel-toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
So look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
What's going on, guys? I'm afraid to start this show.
I don't think it's going to be us tonight. I think it's going to be the chat.
I know. I'm afraid. I'm reading it and I'm afraid.
They're bringing the heat tonight, I feel.
Yeah.
They're probably tired.
They seem very worried. So,
yeah. I've been waiting all day for this one.
We got to make them feel better.
Guys, they're still 48 and 14. I'm just kidding. Look.
That better not get to 20 by the end of the season.
Everyone's going to have some feelings. And I'm not going to say you're not justified to have them. I think there's a level-headed way to look at the game, but I understand there's an emotional way to look at the game, and some people are going to be emotional. And I mean, again, we'll get your reactions about what we saw, and how nervous or anxious it makes you. But I think in line with everything that we've said all year long about this team, guys, is the reason, like, it's not like all like glowing sunshine rainbows with like the numbers they're putting up and this and that, is because it's all about what they're going to do in the playoffs. And you're just looking ahead and projecting and trying to look for glimpses that are going to give you an idea. What's it going to be like when the level goes up and teams are taking their best shot and you're playing the best competition, and how's it going to look? And then you have games like this, or you have games like the last two, you know, and you start to feel a little uneasy, right, about things, where it's like, okay, they are steamrolling everybody, but this is not great, and I don't want to see that. And if they do this in the playoffs, that could be a problem. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So, look, you wanted a measuring stick, right? You wanted a measuring stick game against Denver? You got it. How do you feel?
Scared? They're scary. That's just silly stuff from Jokic down the stretch. You throw extra pressure on him, he's making the right passes. And they probably could have burnt you in some other spots where they missed shots that he was making the right reads out of the extra pressure the Celtics sent on him. I don't have a problem with that being the overarching game plan on defense, because you played him straight up last time and he cooked you in Boston scoring. So the guy just makes the right play no matter what you're throwing at him. They tried going big against him. That didn't really work. That, I thought, bogged down the offense after a really good start in this game. And listen, I don't think the defense killed you in this game. You know, you give up 115 of them, that's probably fine. If you're coming into the game saying you're going to give that up, you have to think you're going to be able to score enough to do that. But what a mess offensively in this game. Turnovers flying all over the place like you haven't seen all year. Disorganization, letting guys off the hook. I mean, if you remember, John, in that first game, the Nuggets played Braun for one rotation, Christian Braun. And after that, Malone got him right out of there because the Celtics just played him right off the court. He had a second rotation in this game, was playing well, comfortable out there. I know he fouled four times, but they didn't take advantage of him. Jackson, Peyton Watson you know, some real flashes from him defensively. So he's not a guy that you can expose, I guess. But if you're the Celtics in this game, you have to be every bit as overwhelming offensively as the Nuggets are. And this was just a disastrous performance offensively in the second and third quarters. The second especially was just awful. So lots to be desired there. Tatum's going to get a lot of the blame. I don't know why Derek White was so uninvolved in this game. And as good as Jaylen Brown was,
did you lose Bobby or just me?
I think he just hit the mute by mistake.
Bobby, you just glitched out in the middle of that. As good as Jaylen Brown was.
10 seconds, yeah.
And that's where I lost you.
It's a lot of ISO.
It's a lot of shooting. It's a lot of transition. So,
you know,
he kept him, but the process for the offense for the Celtics wasn't great.
What process was that?
I just don't think you were finding the mismatches as methodically as you were in other matchups.
I'm saying there was no process. I didn't see one at all. I think the biggest difference in this game, and I want to hear Joe Sway's thoughts as well, is I think the biggest difference is Denver knows what it is, knows who they are, and they do the thing that they do, and they play. And it's so easy when you have a guy like Jokic who's you're making stuff happen around people on and off the ball, the way he's just moving and the sets they run and sealing off people and creating, opportunities for other people to, you know, to get to the basket or to clear out and to get rebounds and to, you know, or to set up guys like, you know, Gordon, which is just a great tandem that they have going there with him playing off of Jokic. It's Denver does something. The Celtics didn't do anything really except for, you know, Jaylen bailing them out time and again by just being really the only offensive outlet that they had for 3.5 quarters. You're still, Bobby, something's happening with your mic. It's just you're in and out.
Yeah, and he deserves credit for that, no doubt.
Yeah, Joe Sway?
Yeah, I mean, I just – look, the biggest takeaway I saw was just how uncomfortable Jason Tatum looked out there. And we can't sit here and be like, oh, well, Tatum's got to do this or Tatum has to do that. I think this was a flat-out Denver thing. You know, the way they defended him, the way they threw two guys at him, but more specifically, what really threw him off completely was the turnovers. And that was essentially Denver just knowing what he likes to do. They knew his tendencies. They know the guy he likes to pass it to. And it's not necessarily a specific person, but a specific area, his tendencies in terms of like when he turns on the double team, like they had it down pat. So I credit Denver for what they were able to do defensively, but you want to see how the Celtics can counter in the fourth quarter. Like, can you imagine in the best of seven series in the NBA finals? Like, I don't think that they'd be able to do this all series long against Tatum, but like, the Celtics have to figure out the keys to get him going in that fourth quarter. And I feel like they just didn't have it. You know, you look at what Jaylen Brown was doing out there, essentially the best offensive weapon that they have start to finish, man. One of my favorite Jaylen Brown games of the season. My only knock going into that fourth quarter was, man, he's going to have to hit some big free throws. But then the Denver Nuggets, they go on to this little run. And then it didn't even, you know, it wasn't as close as I thought it would be at the end of the game. You know, outside of that Derek White three, who I thought was, you know, kind of, he's been ice cold all night. You know, I wasn't really like thinking that was going to go in, to be honest with you guys, but obviously that was sort of it for their chances of winning the game when that came up short. But yeah, I just credit the Denver Nuggets a lot in this one for what they did defensively against Tatum.
Yeah.
For essentially having this ability to beat the Celtics while being ice cold from behind the arc. And this is worse than what we saw in the last game. They were 19% from behind the arc, and it didn't even matter. You know, I thought the free throw line, the difference there was going to be the overall difference and the reason why they lose this game, the Celtics lost this game, but it really wasn't. And even though the Celtics did miss a handful of free throws, you know, Jaylen Brown included, you know, it really wasn't. It was just another factor to the loss. It didn't really decide. Whereas someone like Tatum could have certainly made a bigger difference, obviously. And those five turnovers really hurt the Celtics in a big, big way, I feel like, in that first half.
Well, I mean, we mentioned Tatum was like passive, or they took him out of his game. Where was he? Like, again, it looked like he didn't join the game, even try to join the game.
It had finals vibes, right?
I mean, yeah. I didn't know what it felt like. Somebody wanted you just walk up and shake him. Like, you know, where are you? Like,
well, it starts with that early tech. he's complaining early. You saw him throughout the game, mad about the physicality of this one. And this is how it's going to be. You're in Denver. You're playing against the most physical player in the league. And man, did he not live up to it. At 4 rebounds, everyone's going to talk about the misrotation on that final Gordon play, not boxing out in other spots, second chance opportunities for Denver throughout this game. So even the little things, the decision-making, as Joe Sway talked about there, falling in the traps that the Nuggets were throwing at him. Late, he drove in the three guys twice on one possession and didn't make the pass out of there. So he was completely off balance.
This is it right here. This is it. This is the problem with Tatum in too many situations is it's you know, similar to what happened in the last possession of the game against Cleveland. Everything is deliberate with Tatum, and when teams see it coming, they load up, they blitz at the point of attack. This is where you take Tatum out of his game. You throw bodies at him, you get a little bit physical. If he's a little slow to make his decision, or he's decided that he wants to go to work or something, the possession's almost dead at that point with him. And this is kind of what happens. And Denver was doing it early. They were picking him up. I feel like every single time, you know, he wanted to make a move, they'd throw another body at him, or blitz him a little bit and kind of take him out of his rhythm. That happened a bunch. And I don't think he knew how to beat it, which is why he was so passive. He just didn't really know what spots to pick or how to get there. And this will be like the overstatement and that everyone's going to jump all over, but it's like, this is generally my knock against Tatum. I know every superstar has bad games, but you feel like the best players are defense proof in the sense that, like, you do your best to throw them off a little, they're just going to get you, you know? Like, and sure, some games will be more successful than others. I do feel like Tatum can get thrown off his game, I'm not going to say more often than not, but against certain types of teams and certain types of defenses, in certain types of moments and matchups. And this was one of those where it's like, you know, and this is where everyone in the chat's going to be like, yeah, he's great, but is he him? You know, like that's what it's going to come
down
to.
This is the whole ball game. And Jokic, it's not doing just what he did.
Jokic did everything. I mean, you watch this game. I hate distilling it to like the guys, their best player's better than your best player. But sometimes it comes down to that. And look, everyone wanted to be in defense of Tatum's clutch numbers the past couple of days. Well, actually, I love the well actuallys, you know, like the well actually crowd, like just call it for what it is. Like, right. Well, actually, they are pretty bad. And I think they're bad mainly because of what we said earlier. You kind of know what he's about to do. But in this particular moment, this wasn't a Jason Tatum pull up with three defenders on him. He had the game in his hands for a wide open three that honestly was a possession that he screwed up in the first place, throwing this faux lob to Brown instead of just driving straight to the basket with that ball or doing something with it. Throws this weird ass lob to Brown, who has to give it to White, and then kicks it out to him. But he doesn't have anybody within 9 feet of him, and he missed it. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah, like, and you have an opportunity there to win the game on that play, and then turn everything around.
That was it, man. They got their way back. As poorly as they played, those two holiday shots brought them back into it, and they were right. The game's in his hands right there, and that was it.
That was, to me,
I was like, this has to happen now. And, you know, for him to get that open shot like that, that never happens. And that spot of the game never happened.
Yeah. So it's tough to watch it because – sometimes you just have to, like, the reality check is, yeah, let's not kid ourselves, right? Like, obviously, Tatum's not Jokic. He's not in a league with Jokic. Like, Jokic is an otherworldly player and one of the best who's ever played. Like, very few people do what he does and affects the game in a way that he does, on the offensive end. It's just, it's hard to do. So it's an unfair comparison. But it's really more a matter of, like, if he's your guy, he's got to be that you live and die with it sometimes. And tonight, you know, you go down because, I mean, Tatum has a better game. I mean, again, Jaylen Brown, you know, there's some messy stuff in Brown's game tonight, but holy crap. Like you could tell he was like, so no one else is going to do this, huh? And he took it all on himself and he just went for it. Like he threw it all out there, like criticize the free throws all he want. But I mean, he saved their ass. I even think
Tatum, there would have been a blowout in the second half without him.
Tatum, to his credit, recognized it and was deferring to him, which is honestly good because he
and
knew
that's
he didn't
part
have
of this
it.
Too. Yeah, yeah, and listen, they made some improvements into the second half off that awful second quarter. I like the way they started the third. They got Porzingis involved. And, you know, we're going to do our blame pie later, but this is a weird one from Porzingis. Like, the physicality seemed to knock him off his feet in this game, too, and it started with that monstrous Jokic dunk over him to begin the game. He missed some weird shots, settled for a ton of threes in this game. Another guy who you count on to expose mismatches who really couldn't in this game. And when you're jamming Jokic in the lane like the Nuggets do, it's tough. But he goes, what, 3 for 10 in this game from three? I liked how they involved him a little bit better into the second half, and Tatum was part of that. But I'll go back to one of the things I said to open up the show. Where's White in this game? I know he missed his shots. I know he wasn't great in the opportunities he got with the ball. But I feel like we're past due to see him running pick and roll high with Porzingis more. And I, you know, Scal said that throughout flows of the portions of this game. You've said it, John. You want Tatum and Brown out wide with White up high.
I want to see
that
White
pick and roll with Porzingis.
See, yeah, White and Porzingis get into that. I don't get it. I really don't.
It's not enough of it. And listen, right. I've defended Joe all year. I think he's had a good season. This is a pretty bad game from him. And Malone dominated him here. I thought, like, this, it's not often you say coaching and the X's and O's and the game plans really swing things, but the Nuggets were just on another level in that facet too. And Malone's a really good coach. He's got a lot to work with here, certainly, but so does Joe. And I think you said it during portions of the game, John, or at the beginning of the show here, Celtics just sort of rolled the ball out there, tried to play their game, and didn't change too much. And the Nuggets, every single time out, we're changing things, whether it was lineups, whether it was where defenders were, the offensive game plan sharp, mostly through Jokic, but they were well prepared for this game. And Joe Sway said it off the top, reading Boston's offense, making all
the
right plays,
Nathan,
offensively.
Take it out of his ham. Take it out of his hands. That's the point. That's kind of what we're talking about here. If you're going to see that Denver's going to load up on Tatum when he has the ball and he's trying to create and you're running offense through him, you take the ball out of his hands, move him off ball, get him on a mismatch, get him in the post, do different things there. That's the problem. Like, that's an adjustment that they didn't make there. They didn't make it at all. And that's exactly right. Denver absolutely did do that, and it did make it hard. That's why his field goal attempts were down, not because he's soft.
This is final
Tatum, or because he ran from it. There wasn't anything there. And yeah, you'll put some of that on Joe for not saying, hey, let's try this instead. You're right. They put it on themselves, and this is what they ended up with. But it ends up looking, the Joe philosophy of you guys figure it out, I trust you to make the right reads, go out there and play basketball. Great when it works. It's beautiful. But like, when it's not going great, this is where you have to say, like, oh, let's do this. Like, the Nuggets are doing their shit all game long, you know, like nothing changes. The Celtics got taken out of what they wanted to do, and they didn't really have another way to play. They just kind of kept – what did they do? They gave it to Brown and just let him just charge at the defense and, you know, and get whatever he could out of it.
Do you see that play where Murray got the dunk to begin the fourth?
Yeah.
Like, that's just nasty stuff.
Yeah,
and that's a play call right between quarters. Celtics have their double bigs in. They're spread out wide, and they ran two misdirections, and Murray's reverse jamming it wide open at the rim.
Yeah, he just parted the seas, and you know, and you watch the Celtics split, and they totally go for it, and Murray just goes right down the middle there. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, is
Aaron,
like,
Gordon put back too. Yeah.
When you said it, Bobby, that's kind of what I was joking. It was like, you know, you're saying Malone, you know, Malone is out coaching him. And I was like, yeah, but is it like, doesn't Joe just not coach?
Yeah, I thought Joe tried at points in this game, and I'm not going to kill him for the double.
Not coach, but I mean, outside of substitutions and rotations, isn't it very much just roll the ball out there?
Yeah, no, they're running out of sets and stuff. And yeah, they'll switch the sets up periodically, but they're basically trying to, and again, I'm not going to kill them for doing something that's worked all year when they go up against the standard in the league here, but we've asked for this in the most important moments of the game. Can you instill your coaching with a play call from the sideline. It doesn't have to be the timeouts. I know there's a lot of conversation about the timeouts after last game too. I don't get on him as much about that. It's more just kind of instilling yourself, getting a guy a look who's not getting one. Brown last game, 5 minutes to close the fourth, no shots. That's not great. In this game, Tatum clearly just floating and out of the action for a lot of it. And I think, you know, just from a temperamental standpoint, are you getting your best from him effort-wise in the other areas when he's not as involved in the offense? Like, that's something you have to consider here, too. There's just a whole lot of feel things, flow of the game things. And what was this? I mean, we can blast his philosophy. We can talk about timeouts. We can do all the stuff we usually do. But you just can't have Pritchard in midway through the fourth to get dominated by Jokic right out of the timeout and then beat downhill in transition by Watson on two consecutive plays. Like, what was that? With Jokic in there, you're going to have Pritchard out there? And that's just asleep at the wheel stuff coaching. So this is not a good one for Joe. And I think he's had a strong year. I think there's been a lot of growth, but ooh, this was a rough one.
Yeah, that in the moment or heat of the moment coaching, I think that's when Joe gets exposed a little bit, right? Especially against top tier coaches like this, like Malone, you know, like Eric Spoelstra last year during Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know, this year is different, but you know, it's interesting because you wonder what his counter is going to be in that fourth quarter, or how you're going to figure out this equation of getting Tatum his touches or getting him going. And you don't quite see it, because I think a lot of the times it's just always been his philosophy to have these guys figure it out on their own, you know, figure things out on the fly. They have to get ready. You know, they have to get used to that heat of the moment type situations and stuff. But it's a lot of it boils down to, like, can you get Tatum a bucket out of a timeout? Like, is that something that you could do on the fly? Like, sometimes I wonder, because I'm not quite sure if he can absolutely do that, or if he's even into doing something like that. You know, he's a big guy.
I think he's capable of doing it. He just doesn't do it often.
He's capable, Bobby, but I don't think he believes in it, because it's always about what the defense gives you. But sometimes you just need your best player to get going. And I think sometimes he has to dig into that without obviously wrecking the offensive rhythm or flow of whatever they're doing. You know, you don't want the team to say, okay, you know, let's make it obvious, get the ball to Tatum as many times as we can. But in some moments, you need that. He's your best player. You know, we make the conversation, well, at least we've had it last year and a little bit this year, about, you know, top five Tatum and all that. Well, these are those type of moments. These are those type of matchups where you're like, is he top five? You know, Jokic, obviously, like John said, is in this game especially, is like in a whole nother league. And I think that's when I think a lot of people have trouble putting him, no question, he's definitely top five in that category, because there's five players that can get things going and drop up a dime like that. You know, five players that can that have been there, you know, won championships, but also can just flip that switch. And sometimes I wonder if Tatum can do that. But again, he has to be, you know, supported in that. You know, I don't think the Celtics will ever be one of those teams where it's like, get Tatum going. But in certain moments, I think it's necessary. And I think tonight was one of them.
Yeah. Or on the contrast, have someone else initiate the offense. And that's another thing you can decide as a coach to switch up midway through a game when you see right. The defense coaxing Tatum into bad decisions. And that was a big part of this game, is they were just hiding in the you know, back line there, coming around, picking off passes. They were fronting entry passes in ways that threw him off, and he's just forcing it. And some of that's on him, and some of that's on Joe from the sideline, to see like, all right, our plan was to go and attack this mismatch, but they're doing this to prevent us from doing that. So we got to shake up what we're doing offensively here to realign the offense. And listen, at the end of the day, I think Tatum's come a long way as a playmaker. And both Ime and Joe agreed in a lot of different ways that Tatum should be the guy on the ball a lot of times, because he's the best offensive player. But with the strides White has made, I just felt like you underutilized him in this one. He is such a smart, reliable playmaker that when the turnovers are flying in this game like they were through the middle portion, you have to rely on him to slow the game down, get into your sets. They got rushed midway through this game, especially in that second quarter. And Joe just kind of watched it spiral out of control there. And everyone did it. I thought Holiday had some bad turnovers in this one. Tatum especially bad with the ball. Brown at times really tried to force things, but that was from an aggressiveness standpoint, so I'm going to give him credit for that because this would have been a blowout without that. So that's the killer here. I think if you play a clean game, you're in a much better position to win late, and it just took too long to get there.
Okay, if we're going to recreate this old pic of us that mom posted, we've got to get the outfits right.
Well, for some reason, I can't find gauchos with a matching shrug anywhere.
Let me try on my Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. I just use the S Pen to circle the outfit in the post, and bam, 5 sites to buy it from right here.
Shut up! How did you...
You shut it. Mom's coming.
Cute outfit. Get me one.
Circle it, find it. With the new Galaxy S24 Ultra and circle the search with Google. Upgrade now at Samsung.com. Internet connection required. Results may vary based on visuals.
The legends are true.
But overwhelming power!
The sauce of destiny.
Yes! The most legendary sauce has arrived as McDonald's transforms into the anime world of WicDonald's. The greatest flavors unite in all new savory chili McDonald's sauce to make your 10-piece Wick Nuggets, fries, and Sprite ultra-powerful. Unlock manga comics with every meal and sit down for a new anime short every week only at WicDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, go!
And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
John, you're muted.
To put things into perspective, like the whole, like, yeah, you can look at it a couple of different ways. Celtics had a chance to take the lead late in this after not really playing a good game. And you're playing on the road and you're playing against a team and a bunch of things aren't necessarily going your way. And you're still in it and you can kind of take a rosy outlook and say, on a night where things do go well, free throws do fall, you knock down threes at a slightly better rate, you figure something out to get Tatum going a little bit better. Yeah, you're in this thing, so it doesn't mean you can't beat Denver. But also, like, you know, it goes both ways. Denver didn't shoot threes really well. You're not going to get 41 points from Jaylen Brown. There's a counterbalance to all those things. I think the reality is the reason, like, everyone's like, I think everyone's got it wrong just in terms of how people view this team and the mentality. People aren't rushing out to, like, hate the Celtics. And it's not entirely, you know, a visceral response and this and that. I think a lot of it is pent up concern over, you know, knowing that the team can be made to look bad. And when they do, that can kind of knock them off this course that they're on, which is presumably headed to the NBA Finals. You feel a team like Denver is less likely to be knocked off course, right? Like, sure, Denver's going to, it's, that's what we say all the time. The Bucks had a bad game. The Nuggets the Nuggets just lost the other night. I get it.
Now you disappeared.
I disappeared. I'm still here. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
My camera blinked out.
Oh, he was frozen for me for a second. Now he's gone.
No, my camera just blinked out. I'm still here. Am I here?
Yep.
Yeah, now you're good.
It just feels like in these games or in the playoffs, we've seen the Celtics not, you know, be made to look not great more often than you want them to. And that's the thing people still are holding on to. And when you see it, that's the stuff that comes out, you know? And that's why people freak out. I don't think everybody's lost perspective, forgetting that this team has historically good metrics and a ridiculous record and cruising to a number one seed in the East by, you know, comfortably speaking. No one's forgetting that they've done all that this year. Just these reminders set you back. And I think a lot of people just feel these concerns of, like, what are they going to be like when teams, you know, against the Miamis, against the teams, you know, against, you know, there's probably a handful of teams in there that you're like, okay, it might not be fun playing them. And how are they going to react to it? And yeah, I think some people are worried the Celtics might be front runners a little bit, and that they're not going to be able to handle these clutch moments. And, you know, Tatum might not be the guy that you want with the ball in his hands late in those game situations. That shit's scary. I mean, I think it's justified concern. I still think this team can absolutely win a title because, again, they can play not great and be in every single game and still possibly win those games. They are that good, but there's definitely some warts that are going to worry you.
Right. especially because in this particular matchup, you know that Denver is way better than this. Like just from an offensive standpoint, right? Like the shooting and you know what they do in terms of getting going in the second half. They're definitely much more of a second half team at times. But you know also though that Tatum's not going to do this throughout a hypothetical best of seven series against the Nuggets, either, especially in the NBA Finals after he's been there before. You know, just from what we've seen up until this point this season, I think I feel very confident in saying that. But like, who gets the edge there? You know, I just think even before this game, I had the Nuggets as that one team that's like, oof, like that's the one team that Celtics should be worried about. But when you look across the Eastern Conference, I mean, I'm still sold. I mean, this is where my Celtics are champions. But you know what I mean? Like, this is where that sentence stops, because
it's not even biggest threat.
I don't know what that finals matchup was like, a best of seven series against the Nuggets, against that team. Like, I don't know. I can't call it a favorite. I just can't. And obviously after tonight, I still can't.
No, the Nuggets should be the favorite. And I've said that from the start of the year. I don't know why they didn't get deference as defending champs, especially
right. But Bobby, now I'm starting to wonder how small is that gap now between, you know, Boston's. I didn't know it was that big. You know,
it's on the Celtics to prove it. Like, you have this great regular season, great. And this is what we've said all year. They've checked all the boxes. We had concerns about the roster construction in certain ways, and they've negated a lot of that by playing amazing basketball to this point. But things are going to be different in the playoffs. We know that. There's a physicality component to this game tonight that I don't think they met the standard for. And you're talking about adjustments more in that spot and making good decisions with Tatum and Brown the ball in their hands. This is all still the same stuff. Now, credit them and credit Joe too, because everyone's going to blame Joe in these spots. And yes, he does deserve criticism tonight. Both Brad and Joe have done everything they can to minimize the weaknesses of Brown and Tatum and put them in the best position to succeed. But it's still going to be on those two at the end of the day to play together, make good decisions, play consistently. Like, you can't have this thing again this postseason of like playing a couple bad games in a series that should go 4 or 5 games and then watching it go 6-7. Then it's going to be, oh, they're exhausted. Oh, someone got hurt. And this is what's going to lead this team to falling short. And I'm with you, Josue. They're going to probably go to the finals with the field that's in place here, with what they've got, the way they've played. They can just destroy teams in ways that they really couldn't over the last 2 years as well. But you're going to have games like this. And this takes us back to the conversation I know you guys had last night about the crunch time. There's another game where you lose in crunch time. You have it one possession late and, you know, you produce a couple holiday baskets there, which I thought was good.
Man, that
but
was
then huge. On the one you really needed.
You did that in like a minute. Yeah, those back-to-back threes.
And this was more of a scramble back crunch time, try to get back into it. They haven't had many of those.
And that's something you didn't have last year, man. Like, that's the thing, man. Like, these guys have weapons, you know, like what John's saying. Like, you gotta utilize all of them. It shouldn't be, you know, oh, well, Tatum doesn't have it, no chance for Boston. Like that's what we've been preaching all season long. Like, they got guys that can step up. They have proven champion in Drew Holiday, you know, proven threats on both ends of the floor, and Kristaps Porzingis, who had a solid game tonight, you know, outside of just slowing down right in some spots where you thought that, or at least I thought that, man, maybe this is the spot where he can creep up to 30 points tonight. You know, he's about to go off, and it never really happened, but he was obviously still effective on the offensive end of the floor. You know, outside of Brown, it really was just those two with a consistent offense.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, maybe you do find ways to integrate Holiday in other spots. I got to look back at some stuff like that. Like, was Jokic on Holiday the whole game? Because you clearly saw that Holiday was able to take advantage of him in space late in ways that the Celtics didn't really utilize earlier in the game. And that helped you get back in this one. But it is another crunch time loss, John. That's not why you lost this game. But that's another thing you can look at with this team and say, they haven't been the best in that spot. And I obviously wrote about that earlier too. So there's some stuff you can point out here. And I think we've all felt this way all year. I know you guys think they're going to win the title, but there's some stuff you can pick at here.
Let me ask you a question, Bobby. When you said earlier, you know, minimizing, you know, putting Tatum and Brown in the best position to succeed, and, you know, minimizing what they, you know, what they don't do well and blah, blah, blah. I keep coming back to it, but didn't we agree we didn't want to see Point Tatum? And I know it's going to happen from time to time, but like, why? Why do we do that?
You know what his best stretch of the game was, John? Early in the third, he screened for White, rolled and scored. Right after that, I think he screened for Holiday, rolled and scored. That was it. You didn't see that for the rest of the game.
I am and will forever be perplexed by this thing that they do. I'm sorry. Yes, he's gotten better. Yes, he makes better reads. He's still only okay at it. Like, you're giving the keys to a sports car to a teenage driver. Like, he's not elite at it. I don't think they're at their best when he's got the ball in his hands, and I definitely don't think it when teams do what they did with Denver here and, you know, blitz him and force him to get the ball out of his hand quick. He's not like, look, Jokic, you threatened to double team him and he's going to find the best person on the floor who's going to hurt you the most instantly. Okay. And again, we said this, we talked about this earlier too. And I tweeted this the last time they lost one of these games. Yes, the Celtics record right now against those teams that you're going to be faced that are going to challenge you late in the playoffs is not great. Sorry. It's not recently, but that's it. I've never understood it. Like, why Point Tatum? Why are you doing that?
Right. And like, isn't that the reason why you got Jrue Holiday? Like, isn't that the whole point?
Right,
you
wanted that.
And then you have White. Well, White proved himself that you can live without,
like,
Marcus Smart.
Get it out of his run. He's slow with the ball. Right. Like, I mean, there's things he doesn't
in a
do
second
well.
One. You brought in a second, essentially a second starting point guard, and
move
we're still doing
the ball. Get it out. When you have a defense doing what the Nuggets did to Tatum, which is waiting for him to move and then blitzing him and throwing extra people at him, yeah, of course the ball's coming out of his hands. But you've already eaten 8, 10, 12, 14 seconds off the clock at that point, and you're not into any sort of offense. You're not running anything at that point. It's such a strange thing to do. I don't get it. I've never gotten it.
Yeah, I feel the same way in a game like this. And a lot of that's situational. And throughout the year, there's some games where
it makes more sense.
I think on the whole this year, it's worked too, based on what they've done so far, because that's been the ball game and they've done what they've done to this point so far. But we're just talking about tonight. And in this matchup, in this single game, it might not have been the best option, at least as the game progressed and you saw what was happening there. So a little bit too much of just kind of sticking to that game plan, rolling with what you were doing from the start. And it worked at times in this one. Again, you're not in a position, Joe Sway, and this is obvious, right? When you have the talent, when you have the team, you're not going to go into a series against Denver and be like, man, look at them. We just can't match up with them.
Right.
It's and unfortunately,
feeling themselves going into the finals, right? Like you obviously went, you reached that way and you got the momentum going for sure.
And unfortunately, this game felt a little bit like that at times. Like, especially like late in the fourth, you're seeing what Jokic is doing. Celtics look kind of disheveled, just trying to stay in the game. And you're like, man, like the poise difference between these two teams is massive. And, you know, the Nuggets had bad stretches in this game where they had to call a timeout and reset themselves. And, you know, that you had that little stretch where Jokic just looked exhausted with 3 minutes to go as the Celtics were storming back. But they're able to just calm themselves, compose, make a play, and right the ship. Whereas the Celtics, when things start going wrong, and they still have a little bit of this, John, even with like all the veterans they brought in and KP and Jrue and all this stuff, they looked rattled at times in this game. Like, oh geez, we're down 12. Like, what are we going to do here? Brown's rushing up the court, trying to like break away for a layup. And like, you're just flying up and down the court, trying to make stuff happen. And it's like, whoa, you guys have the best offense in the league. You've been dominating on that end. Just slow down and make a play. Yeah. But like, a couple things go wrong, you're down by double digits, and all of a sudden, like, the world's ending for these guys. And not to mention the complaining, which I know you guys talked about last night. Like, that can't even be a thing in a game like this.
Yeah. Right. So real quick, I want to get to we got a Joe comment, and I want to get to that here in a little bit. I also want to tell you guys about Prize Picks. Bobby, what do you know about Prize Picks?
Yo, what do you know about Prize Picks, man?
What do you know?
I've been using it before every game. It's fun.
Have you?
Yeah. You go in, you look at what all the numbers are. And it's interesting too, because it gives you a little bit of a feel for like what a guy's going to do in a game. And so going into that Warriors game on Sunday, I'm like, 24 and a half for Tatum against this defense. Like, that's got to be a lock. And then I saw Curry 23 and a half, and I'm like, really? But then he comes out and scores four. And I'm like, oh.
Well, that's how they get you. But anyway, what is Prize Picks? It's the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easy and exciting ways to play. It's you against the numbers. All you got to do is pick more or less over under on 2 to 6 player stat projections. And that's it. So again, no football right now, no problem. Basketball, tons of it, especially, you know, with the college basketball tournament coming up. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. As we said, America's number one fantasy sports app. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. So definitely get involved and get in on Prize Picks now. It's super easy to use. If you have checked it out or downloaded it, it's very easy. It's very intuitive. It's fun. Pictures, it's really easy. It's just all laid out in front of you. So all you have to do is download that app today. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit. Match up to 100. Once again, download the app, use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. And again, this is no goofy stuff. It's not, you're not going in and be like, wait, did I get it? You put your money in, ba-doop, your hundreds right there in a little gift icon up in the upper corner, and it tells you that it's yours, and you can just use it to play and do whatever you want. So again, check it out. The official partner of CLNS, our frontline sponsor here at the Garden Report. Once again, check out Prize Picks, promo code CLNS. Now, Joe Sway, you had something you wanted to get to. You want to get to it before or after we hear from Joe?
Let's get to it after. See what Joe has to say about this.
Let's hear what Joe has to say. Here's Joe talking about the loss.
What I was talking about is his ability to get the ball in the paint, and with the shooting and the spacing that they have, and the offensive rebounding presence that Gordon brings, it puts you in a bind in a close game as to what you're willing to give up with. Thought our guys did a great job kind of changing matchups there a little bit and changing the coverage. We got a couple stops. We had a chance to take the lead with 40 seconds left. It was a one possession game, and we had a wide open shot. It was a great shot, and we just didn't make it. And they even gave us an open one with I think 12 seconds left, down 4, gave us a wide open 3 there. And so we had our chances. And, you know, when you play against another good team, those things get magnified.
Yeah, I don't know what the question was there, but this wasn't about Jokic going. You just can't stop Jokic. No one can.
Right.
They did everything they could there. And then the open threes, the game came down to a couple open threes at the end. You were down 12 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So I get the comments there, but it's the turnovers, it's the disorganization throughout the flow of the game that got you to that point of needing 2 threes late to squeak by them. And, you know, what would we have said if they won, John, on a couple of threes late? We would have been like, oh, you know, great stuff there, but
no concern.
This wasn't a pretty game.
Yeah.
But we lost you.
No,
I muted myself during Joe so there wouldn't be an echo. I think a lot of this stuff would have been the same. Like, look, we've had games. How many games have we had, you know, if not as many this year, but in the past, where you're mad for 98% of it and you're ready to come out and rip them, and they pull out a victory and you're like, you know, they still played like ass. Like, again, you have to look at this. You have to have the proper perspective on this game. It is a heavyweight fight. It's another team on the other side that does a lot of things well, that makes you do things, that makes it harder for you to do the things well that you want to do. So it's going to be a bit of a slugfest, which means it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're not going to get everything you want.
Yeah, this is the standard.
You're not going to get everything you want against these guys. So you have to live with imperfection. And yeah, at the end of the game, I think you can talk yourself into it and say, look, they missed free throws. They didn't hit threes. They turned the ball over, and Tatum wasn't really there tonight, and they still were, you know, within a whisper of winning it. But I still think you would have felt a little icky, because you just would have seen like, ugh, yuck, like they can, you know, you can get really taken out of it, you know, taken out of your game against this team. And it just felt really discombobulated all night long. Like, it, did you feel good about it at any point? Like, I just
early in the first, they started 8 of 12 and they were looking really good with the starters there.
Yeah,
maybe the back to back from Drew, maybe after that a little bit, I was like, oh, here we go, here's the run. But outside of that, not really. I mean, what I was gonna say before the before Joe Mazzulla clip was just the problems that I feel like Aaron Gordon was for the Celtics, man. Like, that's something I feel like in a best of seven, like in an NBA Finals matchup, man. Like, this dude is just like that last play, Jokic didn't even have to look. He knew Aaron was right there. Like, that law, like that.
That might have been the greatest play I've ever seen from him, if that was intentional. And it was tough to tell.
Unreal. Like, in that moment, though, Bobby, like, this isn't like a random play in the second quarter. Like that against another team or you know, for the Celtics, like, what we've seen in the past, like, that's maybe not a turnover, but a deflection or something. Like, you know, to do that lob in that moment, and then, again, if it's the second quarter, you're like, oh, he didn't get it, oh, well. But, like, to do it in that moment because he just knows.
That's championship stuff.
Gordon's got
championship stuff.
It's execution. They executed in bigger moments than the Celtics didn't. And I'll put it this way. If you want to say Tatum didn't hit the three and shrug your shoulders, whoops, you'll take that shot every day. I'm sorry. The lack of execution was in transition when they blew a 3-on-2 with poor passing. Their passing was off early, Bobby. When they were whipping it around, even though they were making buckets in the first quarter, passes were at guys' knees when they were
awful
in shooting position.
Awful entry passes right at
awful entry
deals.
Passes. Just really, that stuff makes a big, big difference. They looked bad and sloppy all night. Not just the entry passes, as we said, you're trying to make from the top of the key and they got to go to the wing down to the post. They had no chance of getting there. But even just some passes out to guys on the perimeter who were in shooting position and they're low and they're reaching at their ankles to grab them. I felt like they were all over the place all night. So they felt discombobulated, and Denver looks a bit more like a machine when they run their stuff. And again, still it was close, but it just looked sloppy the whole way through, like they weren't ready to, not to play, they weren't ready to execute.
No, and they didn't anticipate things Denver was going to do. And on the other hand, the Nuggets anticipate everything the Celtics were going to do on both ends, it felt like. So the Nuggets were better prepared coming into this game, it looked like. And then it comes down to execution by the players, and the Celtics made a bunch of mistakes on the floor that, you know, go beyond the coaching. So it's a combination of those two things in a game like this. I do want to get to the bench, though, because I've been a defender of the bench. I think they've lived up to expectations throughout this year and at times have surpassed them.
You're about to take that shit back. Oh, there it is.
I'm not even going to mention Luke. I'm not even going to mention Luke because I don't.
Is it something like this, Bobby? Is this what we're looking at?
or he catches one straight on. We'll see.
I don't begrudge Joe for trying Tillman because we have all agreed on this panel. They need to try him. They need to get him in there. They need to see what they have there,
especially in this matchup.
And so I think the thinking there was good. Like, Allen Tillman have played well together. I thought their first rotation together was solid early. Tillman made life tough on Jokic for those first four possessions or so that he was on him.
Even when he was competitive, right? He was competitive on Jokic. Even the plays he got beat, he was right there. So I actually thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, so that wasn't the problem. The problem was on the other end. Man, did the offense bog down with those guys out there. And
yeah.
Yeah, Tillman threw up a little post finish, which is good. You're finding ways to integrate him. He shot a three, which I don't think he's a 3-point shooter. So that can't be the answer here.
It is. It was wide open and it was in the flow, but that's still not the shot you're looking for.
Yeah. So how are you going to figure out how to use him? That's the question here. Because with Al right now, and I think Al's in a little bit of a funk, like Josue and I were talking about that even at the end of the homestand. Like, he's just not giving you a ton on offense right now. Last night, I noticed a ton. The Cavs were just ignoring them. So you have those two bigs out there that really aren't big offensive threats, and all of a sudden the pressure's ramping up on the guys at the top of the offense there. So they were losing the non-Jokic minutes. They were going big in the non-Jokic minutes for the first three quarters or so. And then they squeaked out like a 3-point win, I think, by the end of the game with Jokic off. But for the first three quarters or so, the bench really struggled to produce offense. You need to separate over that stretch, right? Jokic was off the floor. The Nuggets are horrible off the floor. I think, Justin Turpin posted this from WEEI there. Nuggets are -229 with Jokic off the floor. They're +465 with him on the floor. And the Celtics only outscored the Nuggets by 3, I think, in this game with him off. So you just didn't take advantage of those stretches. And I think you were like trying different stuff and mixing and matching second unit lineup. So there was some experimenting in this game, right? But that double big look, Allen, Tillman in the playoffs, you've never liked double big, John. So I think you're going to agree with me here, but it didn't look great tonight.
It's not liking it. I just think that's your bench. And tonight I thought Tillman was the right choice in that rotation.
Was he?
I thought he did fine. I thought he was fine. It's just, you're right. Offensively, you're going to stagnate there a little bit with those two guys on the floor. So it's not ideal. But when Jokic was out there, I didn't mind Tillman on the floor. In the non-Jokic minutes, you needed to try to kind of cook a little bit more on offense and have a more offensive unit out there. So I didn't love that there.
Yeah, they were just grinding the game to like a stalemate in those minutes. And that's a win for Denver.
You have to exploit it. You got to make them pay. Yeah, and you have to go on runs there, and you can't bog yourself down. And I didn't love it.
Pritchard rough tonight. Hauser was okay, but nothing special.
That's a good question, Mike. Not a bad question. Mixing in there a bit.
Yeah, I think Joe's kind of got his rotations. I mean, you could see it. What turn was that where Jokic came in? Was it in the second quarter? And then he immediately snapped up and put Porzingis and Tatum back in the game. Might have been in the second.
They were matching those minutes, weren't they?
Yeah. But it looked like he was matching minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's been their game plan through two games here for the most part, is Porzingis straight up against Jokic for the most part. And I thought Porzingis,
and by the way,
okay.
People are like, Porzingis got caught. Dude, Jokic kills everyone, guys. Everyone. He kills everyone. Great. Porzingis was fine. He held his own, and he got some of his own offense out of it, too. What
did
else
you see down the stretch?
Out of that?
Was Tatum on him, score. Brown on him, score. And then Holiday got on him at the elbow, and he just turned and shot right over him and scored. You had your three best defenders in a row on him.
It's like that classic, during a pickup game where like the team's getting mad at each other, and it's like, yo, I got him. No, let me get him this time. And then they all get cooked.
I think what's happened, the Jokic post-up domination is taking a dip a little bit just in terms of the efficiency. Not just a little. Because I think he's doing the same thing over and over again. And that's,
he switched it up a little bit on that last one, though, spinning around.
Yes, he did.
Left.
He did. But, kind of foul hunting and just trying to shoot up and over people there. But again, I've got no problem with how Porzingis played against Jokic tonight. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do.
You got to get creative and you got to mix it
up. It's how you expect there. It's going to go, and that's how it's going to go there.
Yeah,
you don't have Grant anymore. You don't have Batman. So
I was just gonna say, in the most consequential minutes, unlike in past years, and Jokic's levels above now compared to like 2 years ago when that stuff was happening, but you would have Horford at center in the most important minutes.
It's again, it doesn't matter. Even the guys who do a good job can't stop him. Like it's Jokic. We used to argue about this with Giannis. Like, who's guarding Giannis? I'm like, nobody. Nobody. You throw as many bodies at him as you can, and you just pray for the best.
Yeah, that was a little easier even than this. Because just the passing's so ridiculous. What, do you have 10 assists tonight?
Well, as a team, you can't choose to defend him differently, because no matter what you do, he'll expose it. Some people are just physically, like prime LeBron or Giannis, physically, there's not a human alive that can stay with them. So there's no point to say, like, who on this roster can stay with them. But, I mean, with Jokic, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. It's not one person. It's a team's scheme on how to deal with him. And it's impossible. It's impossible because he can beat everything. He can beat anybody one-on-one. He can get off his shot. He can and he can pass out of doubles with – incredible precision and always find the right guy. And his work off the ball is incredible too. So again, he's like playing 5 seconds into the future, like he's just so far ahead of everybody else on the court. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. I think Horford has the best bet of doing it, but how do you fit Horford in those minutes? It's double big.
Yeah,
you
can only do what
down.
You're going to do there. You can only do what you're going to do. Let me ask you this. We haven't talked a ton about it, but what's up with the guard no-shows tonight? What happened?
Not involved enough. And they missed their shots, so it's on them a little bit. Holiday picked it up late, but White's, I think, 0 for from 3 in this one, right? So
yep.
That's a killer there. you know, I kind of said what I had to say there. I wish he was at the point of attack more in this game.
Totally.
Holiday, you know, Holiday, you're usually going to see him, like, and I got to go back and watch, like, who was covering Holiday for most of the game, because late it's Jokic, and he just took him to school, shooting over him and attacking him in space. So if that was there all game, you're going to be like, oh, man, like, I wish we did more of that earlier. So I think Holiday always goes a little underutilized here. And I know, Josue, you were kind of talking about more as a playmaker here. They haven't done that all year. I don't know. Like, that's another thing maybe you experiment with late in the season, is getting him at the point of attack a little bit more, because he is a good, you know, pick and roll playmaker. He can do some stuff with the ball in his hands that they really haven't taken advantage of all year. So there's got to be a way to utilize him a little bit more. I know they just kind of shrug it off a lot of the time and say, like, oh, he's got to sacrifice and he's doing these little things. But in a game like this, it didn't really feel like he was doing much of anything on offense until late.
I just think a lot of it has to do with what Denver was doing defensively, like essentially taking away that extra pass. Like, how many times is that extra pass?
He's going to be that corner shooter. Yeah,
exactly. A corner three from Derek, or, you know, somewhere inside the arc for Drew, so he can do that step in and enough space for him to do that. Like, I just felt like Denver took a lot of that away, and they weren't going to be like, okay, let me try to get these guys going as soon as I can. I mean, outside of Drew doing what he did, and maybe he just saw the green light when he saw Jokic coming at him and he went for it on back-to-back possessions. But outside of that, you never saw that consistency from the guards.
Yeah. I got a quote here from Jason Tatum I wanted to play here. And again, I'll give you a little hint of my blame pie for tonight. Yeah, that's where we're going with it. I get it. I get it. But someone said earlier, and Joe said it too, in defense of Tatum. Yeah, you know, they tried to take him away, so he had to, you know, be a facilitator, or, you know, defer to others. And I understand that, but did you think he played great, like, defensively? Did you find him totally engaged in a lot of different ways? Because here's his quote about the MVP race showdown against Jokic. I'm not trying to make it about myself, he said. We talk about respecting each other's space, understanding the flow of the game. It's not upon me to hijack the game and make it about me, and it's a national TV game. Other guys had it going, so I have to be in the corner or be the facilitator at times, so be it. Okay, sure, fine. I don't disagree with that, but that would play better if he had one of those did all the little things sort of games. Well, but you didn't play facilitator. You turned the ball over five times. You didn't play outstanding defense tonight. I don't think you did that many things to impact the game in ways that you can impact the game outside of scoring. So does this become a case of a team gets in his head, bumps him around a little bit, throws bodies at him, you know, takes him off his rhythm where he can't cook and can't get going. And because he can't do that, then he slows down other aspects of his game. Because I have no problem with backseat Tatum if that's what the game's giving him, if he's doing every other
thing. Not the point here.
That's not how it goes. Like, I don't think that's how it went for him tonight. I don't think he played a good game tonight. Yeah.
They're so good at that, being like, oh, you know, I had to take less shots and I didn't, you know, I'm not taking the game over to that. That's not why he played poorly. It was he made bad decisions.
Yeah, he made bad decisions. Bad reads was sloppy. Yeah.
And wasn't engaged as he could have been. So, like, I just, and Joe does it too when his thing to open it up there, you know, talking about what he was talking about. But I don't know if it's on Tatum or the person asking the question there. Like, the question's not about, oh, you took less shots. Could you have taken more shots and scored 40? No, it was, could you have made better decisions when they were blitzing you? Could you have handled those better? Could you have put yourself in different positions to get the ball in this game? Like, it just frustrates me because this wasn't a game where it was like, oh, I had to stand in the corner and, you know, do nothing. That's not what happened here.
Yeah,
it's not what happened tonight. Not on this night. And again, that doesn't mean it's bad. It just wasn't.
It's like what Joe's like, oh, you know, you can't guard Jokic one way. And, you know, we had two open threes at the end. That wasn't the story of the game. Like, you're just kind of deflecting in a different direction.
Yeah. That one play. Right.
And this wasn't the story of Tatum's game. It wasn't that he didn't take enough shots and was standing in the corner. It was that he was getting blitzed and wasn't handling it well and was making some bad reads. And on top of that, not taking advantage of mismatches when he got them. And that's, you know, on him. That's on Porzingis at times in this one. But when you're saying the things he's saying this year in terms of being in this MVP race, when you're saying the things in terms of being the best player in the league, this is the kind of scrutiny you're going to get.
Right. It is. And that's the thing. You bring it upon yourself. And that's why it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it matters or not. I think it's a distraction. Maybe it's a distraction just for fans. It might not matter, but I've always wished he could clear his head of it, of like, don't worry about face of the league, MVP, being the best player, blah, blah, blah. It's so inconsequential. It really is. Like, it just doesn't matter. So and that's not what it's about. Just play ball, you know, whatever. Again, we've said it a million times. Just give the game what it needs. That's all you really need. We're going to bring in Porzingis here. Porzingis talking about the game as well. Again, he had a decent game, not as efficient as you would like to see. Threes were coming up short a little bit for him. And again, I thought held his own against Jokic. Here he is talking about the game.
We wanted to, you know, more like this was a big game. We wanted to win this one. It stings real bad. But I like that there's a, you know, there's a big margin that we can improve, you know, from this game. And not always going to go your way, of course, and you're not going to have perfect games, but there's, you know, what I like is that there's a margin for us to get better, to play better. And yeah, it's possible that, you know, we hope to see him again.
I like that much better.
Really me too. That
like, that's all you're really going to say.
It's a big game. We wanted to win it. We didn't. We got to be better next time. I totally agree.
Like, the comparison to, like, what Joe and Tatum were saying would have been him being like, oh, you know, Jokic was in the lane, so I'm just standing out there shooting threes and blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
Like, I guess I have to stand out at the three-point line.
Yeah. In an unrelated, semi-related development, one of my twins really likes basketball and knows all the players' names, and she calls him Tingus Pingus every time he touches the ball. It just cracks me up because she thinks that's his name, and she says it like really like a Tingus Pingus did it.
The amazing thing about him.
It's funny.
It kills me. Every time I see him, it just cracks me up.
The amazing thing about him is I feel like he's played well in pretty much every single game this year. And tonight was the first night where it was like, he kind of got knocked off like his feet a little bit and
Porzingis
missed some shots. And yeah, this wasn't his best game, which is fine because he's played well in every single game up to this point. But this is a tough matchup for him.
Right. He was challenged. I think that's what I liked about him most. It wasn't one of those like, oh man, he didn't have it tonight. Or he should have been better. I mean, he could have been better, obviously, but I just think when you're up against the best, you know, it's like, okay, well, he got his licks in, you know what I mean? Like, it's like when someone loses a fight, like, you know, hey, that was a good one. That was close. And it's a great test for him because let's face it. I mean, Porzingis doesn't have any really, you know, playoff experience. So you want to see him in these type of matchups, these type of duels.
The key for him, John, is you're not going to slow Jokic, and you can do the best job you can at the point of attack and just do your job there. But you have to make the game every bit as hard on Jokic on offense as Jokic is making it on you on the other end. Yeah. And between struggling to make shots in this game and not getting the ball in the best positions and the way Denver played defense, he really wasn't he picked it up a little bit in the second half, but first half especially, he really wasn't making the Nuggets pay.
Don't you want to get Jokic running a little bit? I don't know that Porzingis is necessarily that guy. You got to get him moving. You got to tire him out. You want to get him away from the basket and moving around and like having to chase you a little bit.
Giving up threes to him in this game, right?
A few of them were those, the 27-footers that really, I mean, even when you're guarding them, you're not guarding them out in the perimeter on a switch there with a smaller player. So it doesn't really matter. Talking about stopping Porzingis, I think this is Brown talking about how he might have fared. And again, I will say on the man possessed stuff, I really do think two things happen. I do think Brown, whose comments I loved last game as probably the only sane person talking about, like, no, fuck that. It's not a good loss. Like, this matters. Like, what are you talking about? Like, all of it matters. We can't give away possessions, get nonchalant, walk the ball up the court, you know, get blah, blah, blah. And I think he's looking around and he might have been seeing some of the same and decided to take things into his own, you know, take matters in his own hands. I also think he absolutely exploded after that technical foul and just got mad. And that was part of the thing that fueled him as well.
His aggression, his forcefulness is so needed here.
Yeah, and so thank God for that, because it's a blowout if he doesn't do it. And here he is saying he wanted a couple cracks at Jokic.
Part of helping at the rim off of Gordon onto Jokic. How hard is it making that read, knowing like what they're trying to do with the lob to AG?
Yeah, and Jokic is just a monster down there. So, we threw some different coverages at him. We guarded him one-on-one. We tried to have late help and stuff like that. I feel like I should have guarded Jokic a little more. I wish I would have had those opportunities a little bit. I could keep him away from the basket, and we could have took away some of those layups they got. But I feel like, we still had every chance to win this game. We just came up short.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Again, I don't think the way they guarded Jokic. Yeah, I don't think the way they guarded Jokic was why they lost this.
It's not. He got exactly what you expect him to get. It was their lack of offensive execution, I think, that cost him this game. And then lack of attention to detail with some of the little stuff, you know. Again, look, I know Aaron Gordon's a friggin' freakazoid, but, like, again, and I know NBA players are too cool to box out, but, like, just take a look. You see if a guy's around you, you know. And it's not like they got killed on the offensive glass there by any means tonight.
No, they were up 9-0 at one point.
They were fine on that end. That's not why they lost. Jalen had six alone. It was careless passes and just lack of execution and just being taken out of their game more than anything else. It has nothing to do with picking up Jokic and guarding him.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not going to say it was a good loss, but it is a real example of you're going to have to experiment down the stretch of the season and find different counters to do different things on both ends of the floor, right? Like, if you really want to make double big your identity in this kind of game, you got to figure out how to make that work seamlessly offensively, because it just kind of drove them into the ground at points in this game in an effort to defend Jokic. So that was a big factor here. The sloppiness, probably a little bit of an aberration, but also well prepared game plan from the Nuggets there. And then, the Porzingis stuff, the Tatum stuff there, those are bad games. We're in the playoffs. You're just going to kind of have to get back on your feet and play the next game. And, this series won't be easy. I don't think anyone's under that impression. But you shouldn't look rattled. And I don't want to use the phrase outclassed, because I think that's a little strong for this game. But Denver did look on another level than you at parts of this game. And so that's something you're going to have to bridge.
But just more organized, that's kind of the thing. They just look like they've got you. They've got things more together here. And, that's really what it comes down to is, you just hate seeing the Celtics look discombobulated as they did at times throughout this game and being knocked off their game. You hate it the most seeing it happen to your best player. That's the biggest concern. Again, everyone knows my feelings. I'm not a Tatum basher. I'm not a Tatum he's him guy. I don't have him at that level that a lot of other people have him at. I think he's a excellent player who does a lot of things well. I actually think among his greater strengths are things like playing defense and rebounding and this and that. I don't think he is that, as a complete offensive player as everybody else thinks. I think you can take him off his game a little bit. He's, and then he can have games where he absolutely torches you. There's no question about it. I think there's a lot of players offensively who can do what Jason Tatum does. I don't know that he's the guy who you just give him the ball, get out of the way, and he just makes stuff happen for you. And I think we've seen a lot of the clutch numbers and this and that. So I think it's it's the team. It's always been about the team. I think it's they have to do what they do and stick with the process and stick with the stuff that's made them good and involve everybody and allow, you know, the point guards to, you know, to handle the ball and to get, you know, to get them into their offense and to just play the way you know how to play and don't devolve back into the stuff that you've done in the past when you were a two-man team and basically that was your only way that you could generate any sort of offense. You've evolved past this. You're something better now. So just be that. You know, don't let teams take you out of that. Keep running what you do. And again, you'll have those games where you just shoot yourself. You know, you the shots don't fall. You shrug your shoulders as long as the process has to be good, right? You know, it's those games when you might still win when the process is bad. You're raising that likelihood that it's going to happen against really good teams. So you have to keep, you know, the process going.
Yeah. And that's why you get a little concerned because, like, you shouldn't be rattled. You shouldn't be looking out of sorts when things are going against you a little bit there. Reorganize, get set. And, you know, maybe that is a timeout thing. I get why people get upset about that thing because if you're Joe, and I get that you want to prepare the team for the situation in the playoffs so that they're better at handling things on the fly, you also have to know what this team needs, which at times I think is a little bit more of the thumb on the scale of like, all right, I got to calm these guys down. Oh, geez, Tatum's completely disinvolved. Like, I got to get him involved here. Like, you as Joe have to have an imprint on a game like this in the playoffs. And if this is a process game, if this is an experimental game, I get it. And I think it was to some degree. But he has to show, too, that, like, where he really needs to, oh, geez, like, this isn't going right. I have to step in on this. That's your job as the coach. And I'm not asking him to change completely. He is who he is. And his coaching philosophy is what it is. But this team, in terms of what it needs, they need that thumb on the scale a little bit sometimes, John. Like, we see it. Man. Like, they get frazzled. They get disorganized. They get rattled at times. And you have to be able to kind of provide an answer there. And maybe it's not Joe. Maybe it's someone on the team.
Right. Like, it doesn't have to be Joe. Right. That's a great point, Bobby. Yeah.
It is. Fire Joe Mazzulla with 20 games left to go. That's what Bobby Manning just
said. biggest.
No, I'm kind of bummed.
That's a clickbait headline right there for this video.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed in a game like this that Horford can't be more involved. And I know the stage of his career where he's at. I know the starting lineup is what it is.
Look for the playoffs.
But he is that guy sometimes, right?
You'll see it more often. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we saw a little bit of that. Not the Golden State Warriors game, but the one before that. What was it? You know, when he was talking to his guys off the bench, you know, and he had to start because I think Porzingis was out that game. But anyways, yeah, we've seen flashes of it. And I think he's going to take it up a notch for sure in the playoffs on the bench and on the floor. That's just what Al does. I don't think this year will be any different. You know, the numbers will go down a bit compared to last year.
I still think he's important, Joe Sway.
But I still think he's important as well. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Bobby. I just think what really bothered us a couple nights ago was not just the fact that, oh, Joe, he lets them play out there. But it's the fact that calling a timeout gives not only guys a breather, but it gives everyone a chance to just kind of talk amongst one another, right? And I think that stuff is important, especially when, let's face it, going into the postseason, it's going to be a thin rotation. Like, it's only going to get thinner from here. I don't see the team going in the direction of, you know, playing all his guys. You know, it always goes the other way, you know? And I just think have the top six guys that you have, which compared to any other team in the NBA, is the best. Like, I don't think it's close. So I think that you use that in your favor. And if guys are clocking over well over 30 minutes, 35 minutes, what's going to happen on a regular basis in the playoffs, those timeouts mean everything. And again, it doesn't have to be Joe saying something to change what they're doing out there. Sometimes they can do it themselves, but those 2 minutes on the bench, just collecting each other's thoughts or whatever, like, whichever the direction the timeout goes in, it's beneficial. And I think that's what really bothers people. The people who are critical of Joe and calling timeouts in the fourth quarter or lack thereof, especially in those last like few minutes. And when you see someone like Tatum doing what we saw again tonight, in a sense, right? We're kind of moody, upset with the officials, letting that play into his game. You see the signs there. You know how important he is in that fourth quarter stretch. So you got to call timeout. You know, you got to figure out what's best for your team in that moment, and you have to also pick up on the tendencies of your superstar player. That's just what a head coach does. And Joe Mazzulla is not a rookie anymore, and I think he's been around long enough to pick up on those tendencies.
Yeah,
I got to do what Judah's doing too here in a minute, so we got to wrap this.
Yeah, my last take is.
Oh man, appreciate you staying up, man. That's what's up.
I think this is one of those games that was decided in the middle portion. And to what Josue was saying there, I thought they came out of halftime better, but the whole second quarter went so poorly that they were in a bad place based on that quarter alone, I felt like. And then, you know, similar stuff to start the fourth, to go down 12 there. Things just got out of control at too many different points in this one, and you made up for it late almost. But the story of the game is those middle portions where you just like overwhelmed.
Damn, I didn't know it was 2 a.m. too.
I don't think any of
no, no, yeah, for sure, Bobby. But then you had that quick run after the halftime. But then when Denver responded right
everyone
back.
Everyone say bye to Judah. And then say bye to us in a minute. Go ahead, Josue.
But then Denver went on that bigger run. And something's just like, okay, we have to really dig deep here. And again, like we said, we've been saying this throughout this entire show. You never got the feeling where you're like, okay, so let's can steal this one. You know, even though they got it down to one possession game after those back-to-back threes by Drew.
No, it shouldn't feel that way. It should never feel that way.
It was supposed to be a nail biter, man. I was a little disappointed in that, but I mean, look, Denver, they show me who they are for sure, man. And again, that gap between these two teams is significant.
I don't know that it is, but that's
I don't
fine.
Think so either. But I my last question for you, John,
there's
is,
a gap though, right?
It's but the gap maybe a comes small down. One. The gap, the biggest gaps are their best player and your best player, honestly, because the talent level is pretty equal. But you have Jokic that completely organizes and calms everything down. And when he's on the floor, you just feel calm and peaceful and that everything's going to be okay and be the way it is. And on the Celtics end, you don't have that all the time. And I think that's the difference is
yeah,
it's more
–
it's more chill being a Denver fan because you know you've got that, and that's always the best. That's always going to make you feel good. It's like, well, just give it to Jokic, and just we'll be fine, you know. And I don't know that you have that necessarily here, and so that's why Tatum catches as much heat as he does, because you know, and also it's why like Giannis caught heat for that matter, is because you don't know if he's the guy with the ball in his hands late in a game in a clutch situation too, because of the type of game that he plays. So like everybody's didn't, but the Bucks won a title. Like it doesn't mean you can't win a title with this
team. Celtics can win a title.
Absolutely. There's enough talent here that they're still, they played an ass game and they're still right there in this one. And they didn't,
I don't think we saw Denver's best in this game.
I don't think so either.
You know, so it's
well, that's a series, Josue.
But,
you're going to see theirs
in
1 to 2 games.
Credit to the Celtics because the Celtics, even when they don't have their best defensive effort, they still have a lot of defensive talent and they still make it hard on you and they still challenge you and they still can throw a lot of bodies at your players. And even when they're not playing great offensively, they have a lot of singularly gifted offense. So the offense was a discombobulated mess. The best player isn't able to do anything. And Jaylen Brown single-handedly keeps them alive. So the Celtics just have enough where they can withstand not playing great. I think both teams kind of can say that about themselves, but just Denver's got that last thing. I'm just saying, I don't think it's vast. I think they absolutely can do it.
Similar to that. And this is my last question for you, John, is I think it's more likely than not they're there in June, the Nuggets, but man, it's not a slam dunk.
Something's catch a break, man.
I know, but you could. I mean, that West is just crazy, crazy. Do you think they're slam dunk to end up there, John?
The Celtics?
The Nuggets.
No, the Nuggets.
I think
Suns Nuggets round one. That's seven games.
I think there's some really pretty good teams out there, and I think the playoffs are a different animal, and I don't think it's a cakewalk anywhere. I don't believe anyone. I look at the East and I just don't think any team can beat the Celtics in seven. I think any team can make the Celtics look bad for a game or two. I just don't think they could withstand it for an entire series. I think Denver is probably going to wear teams out over the course of a series as well. There's no slam dunk, but I think Denver will absolutely have their way with the Suns in round one. You know, like, I mean, if that's where it ends up being, I think they're And Minnesota just lost Towns. You think it might help them? OKC just doesn't have it. I think Denver. I think it's Denver and the Clippers right now. But I don't know how the Clippers would be.
That's the other team. Yeah, I think that's the Western Conference Finals.
And sure. I gotta say this: like this wasn't embarrassing, but the Clippers game was. You've seen the Celtics outclassed. That was the only game all year they got outclassed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I still feel good about them. This is not a 2023 thing for me. I did not feel good about last year's team. This team, I do, but you do totally. Start to stack up a few too many of these games here where you're like,
if they win, they're going to win and they're going to lose. We've said it from day one. We said it last year. We'll say it again. They win and lose because of Tatum and Brown. If not, and certainly maybe more Tatum. Like, that's it. Those guys play at the peak of their abilities or close to it throughout a playoff series while everyone else is doing their thing too in a complementary fashion, they're going to win. If those guys shrink or get taken out of games or teams can mess with them or, you know, Tatum is affected and has a final sort of, vibe to his game or, you know, like we saw him tonight, that's a problem. So yes, it's still up to those guys, but there's too much talent there to think that the Celtics aren't going to be there.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We are going to wrap. We've been here long enough. It is officially
right on the,
two.
Right on
we made
dot.
It to two.
Hey.
Well, Ooh. We're back at 8:30 Saturday, fortunately.
And I'm back at, for about 4 hours from now.
4 hours. Child. I was going to say.
I'm back. So, yeah. But thank you guys for hanging out. Thank everyone in the chat here for staying up late with us. We do appreciate you guys. You. Thank you, Amit. Our indefatigable super producer, hanging out in the scenes, behind the scenes, making everything happen for us as well. Again, I think we didn't rage in this by any means, right?
Maybe at points, but not often.
It wasn't raging. I just get annoyed. Yeah. I'm generally annoyed by some of this stuff, but I think it's always there. But
if Jimmy was here, you'd probably take it up a notch.
No, just I don't think anything. I don't think it's not going to be easy. I think people have to prepare for that. Right. And that's it. So, but yes, again, we do appreciate everybody hanging out with us. And we are back on Saturday.
Yep. 8:30 Suns.
Yeah. 8:30 Suns. So we will see you there. Thanks for hanging out.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us. I think.
See ya.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
Man, he had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.